United States Air Force presents Big Moments in Sport. Marquette Stadium, Milwaukee, June 30th, 1934. Glenn Cunningham and Bill Bondren meet in thrilling 1,500-meter race.
This is Harry Wismer bringing you a big moment in sports history. What you are about to hear is a dramatic, recreated account of a never-to-be-forgotten sports event at the peak of its power-packed action. It's a story that has been and will be retold as long as people talk about sports. But first, before we turn back the clock, here is Bill Reddick with a message from the United States Air Force.
Every young man knows that to be successful in sports, in business, in any undertaking, he must aim for the top. And that's exactly what you do when you join the United States Air Force. The skills you learn in the Air Force can take you to the top in many different fields: radar, photography, administration, medical assistance, or the exciting new field of guided missiles. The training you can receive is the world's finest, the latest, most advanced training offered anywhere. What's more, you earn while you learn, and you enjoy the great advantages of free medical and dental care, plus a fine retirement plan. Yes, the future looks brighter in Air Force Blue. So if you're between the ages of 17 and 34, see your local Air Force recruiter now. Find out how you can set your sights straight for the top as an airman in the United States Air Force. Now back to Harry Wismer.
Many years have passed since Glenn Cunningham, the Kansas Flyer, pulled into the siding to say farewell to the most colorful career ever run on the cinder and wooden tracks. Cunningham ran his last race in 1940 at the age of 30, and then quit to devote his remaining days teaching in a country classroom. His retirement left a void that may never be filled. He was the glamour boy of track and field in the 30s, the decade of Magic Milers, the era of Gene Venske, Archie San Romani, Bill Bonthron, Chuck Fenske, Sidney Wooderson, Jack Lovelock, and the ride-out twins, Blaine and Wayne. Glenn Cunningham had to hit the top the hard way. When he was 7, he suffered an injury that left him almost a cripple. He was a country lad who had to go to a one-room school for his early education. Attending with him most of the time were a brother and sister. There were times, because of the inclement weather, that the teacher was late, and when that happened, one of the pupils had to make the fire to keep the room warm. On one particular day, his brother volunteered. He picked up the oil can and placed it on the stove. It was a costly mistake. Someone had filled the can with gasoline, and it exploded. The flames hit quickly, burning both Glenn and his brother. His brother died as a result of the explosion, and Glenn's legs were so badly burned and blistered that he couldn't walk for a year. Only the patient and untiring work of his mother, who continuously massaged his legs, enabled Glenn to walk again. But on top of that, he had a foot handicap that few people knew about. Glenn Cunningham had no transverse arch in his left foot. So he was never able to run with his foot straight out. He always had to run with it at a right angle. But it never stopped him from reaching the top once he made up his mind to do so. Cunningham learned that lesson when just a freshman in high school. He was rather a small boy at the age of 13 and always seemed to be a little tot to his schoolmates. Once, while visiting a county fair in Elkhart, Kansas, Glenn passed the window of a hardware store in which there was displayed a medal to be given to the winner of a mile race. Entries open only to high school students. Glenn's parents didn't favor athletics too much, so Cunningham had to sneak away to compete. In this race, Glenn ran in street clothes and tennis shoes, while the other contestants, members of the school track team, wore the necessary trunks and spike shoes. At the start, Glenn was left at the post. Most of the competitors were older, taller boys. In fact, Cunningham, in telling the story, says the two of them really looked like giants. It wasn't too long before he caught up with them, however, but then he didn't know what to do to pass them. He had never been in a race before. So instead of running around them, Glenn ran under their arms like a little boy. And he kept running so fast that no one was close to him at the finish mark. Even though he won, he never did get the medal. He was so scared when the race ended that he went straight home for fear someone would tell his mother he had been in a race. Since no one claimed the medal, the superintendent of the school returned it to the store owner. It was perhaps the only time Glenn Cunningham never received his award for winning a mile race. Beyond doubt, Glenn Cunningham was the greatest indoor runner of all time, endowed with a quarter-miler speed. Glenn popularized the doctrine of progressive acceleration. He was the first miler to to run the last half of a mile faster than the first half. The Kansas Flyer had many rivals as he ran the boards in New York's Madison Square Garden, the Chicago Stadium, the Boston Garden, and in Cleveland, San Francisco, and Philadelphia. Cunningham was respected, but never too popular. Not too many people knew the reasons why Glenn had to take long warm-ups before each race. Many of them felt that he was being an exhibitionist in those long jogging exercises, while in reality, he was giving heat to his tightened leg tissues, which had to be loosened because of the fire accident in the schoolhouse when he was a boy. Glenn Cunningham had one rival he couldn't shake, no matter how hard he tried. His name, Bill Bonthron of Princeton. Unlike Glenn, Bill didn't like to run. Bonnie towed the mark because he felt it was his duty for dear old Nassau. His long strides down the home stretch were something to see. In fact, in two of their four meetings, he let Cunningham watch from the rear. But as soon as he graduated, Bonthron, a tall, dark, deep-chested power strider, quit the track to devote himself to a career as an accountant. But I bet he can still hear Madison Square Garden fans yelling, "Here comes Bonnie," in his attempt to nip Glenn Cunningham at the finish line. Now, before Big Moments in Sports brings you in detail the thrilling account of the record-breaking 1,500-meter race between Bill Bonthron and Glenn Cunningham, here is a message of interest to all young men who want to go places faster.
The science of aviation is growing fast. And the man who grows with it, the airman in the Air Force who can keep them flying, is a very important man.
Right now, the United States Air Force offers you the chance to be this important man, to build a bright career for yourself in the field of jet aviation.
As an airman, you'll receive the world's finest technical training from the men who know it best. You'll be trained in such vital skills as jet engine repair, airborne radar, electronics, air traffic control, rocket propulsion.
As an airman, you earn while you learn. You'll advance as high as your interest and ability can take you. Enjoy opportunities for worldwide travel and sky-high adventure.
If you're between 17 and 34, see your local Air Force recruiter now. Secure your future in the jet age as an airman in the United States Air Force.
Marquette Stadium, Milwaukee, June 30th, 1934. The record-breaking 1,500-meter race between Bill Bonthron and Glenn Cunningham.
This is Harry Wismer speaking to you from Marquette University Stadium, where along with some 17,000 Milwaukee sports enthusiasts, we've been sitting under a hot, sultry sun, watching America's best track and field contestants competing in the 59th annual championship games of the Amateur Athletic Union. American and world meet records have fallen here this afternoon like apples from a tree in a windstorm. Now, here comes the race we've been waiting for, the 1,500-meter classic. It has five men in the field, but I can tell you right now that 34,000 eyes will be glued on just two men, Glenn Cunningham and Bill Bonthron. Lining up with this pair, we have Gene Fenske of Penn State and the New York Athletic Club, Robert Morris of Lincoln, Nebraska, and Nelson Brown of Pittsburgh Teachers. This is the rubber match, or fifth meeting, between Bonthron and Cunningham. Their previous four races, each winning twice, were all over the one-mile distance. Today's race, to be recognized by Olympic standards, will be their first meeting over the 1,500-meter distance. They do not run the mile in the Olympic Games, only the 1,500 meters. This metric mile is a fitting climax to a series of battles between these two rivals, Cunningham and Bonthron, that have taken them all over the country. In their third meeting, Glenn embarrassed his Princeton rival when he won with 40 yards to spare and right in the presence of Bonnie's classmates and friends at Palmer Stadium. But it had to be in world record time, 4 minutes, 6 7/10 seconds. Bonthron won the last time out, but fell 2 seconds short of beating Glenn's time. The runners are ready. This is the event this huge crowd has been waiting for all afternoon. The boys are on their mark. Set. There's the gun, and they're off. Fenske is out in front. He defeated Cunningham in the national AAU 1,500-meter race last year, and by just an inch. Now Cunningham is moving out in front. Evidently, he wants to set his own pace. Bonthron is right behind. He doesn't want too much distance between him and the Kansas Flyer. The pace is starting to catch up to Fenske, and he's dropping back. Morris and Brown are just along to make up the field. It's now two laps to go, and Cunningham is still out in front. He's starting to pour on the gas. It's now a lap and a half to go, 600 yards from the finish line. The gap between Glenn and Bill is getting wider all the time. Cunningham really has it today. They're now hitting the backstretch. Cunningham is in front by 5 yards, but Bonthren still hangs in there with him. They're now going into the far turn, and the distance between them is about 8 yards. Now they come into the home stretch for the bell lap, and Cunningham leads by 12 yards. This guy is running like I've never seen a human run before. Glenn is blazing away, but Bonnie is staying right up with him. They move into the final turn. Who can catch Cunningham? He's 15 yards to the good. But Bonthren is still hanging in there. Head bobbing up and down. Legs pumping away. It's now 100 yards from the finish. And Bonthren is starting to come on. He's making his move. But it looks... But Cunningham looked like he was all in. Hold it! What's that on the far... Bonthren has collapsed. I'm running over to help him. The intense heat must have gotten him. It's been very hot under this blistering sun. The timekeepers are in a huddle on the track just below our broadcasting booth, and this race could have been run in record time. They don't usually make a fuss if it isn't something important. They are now double-checking their watches to make sure. They seem to be satisfied now, and here's the announcement.
Winner of the 1,500-meter race, Bill Bonthren, Princeton. Second, Glenn Cunningham, Kansas. Third, Gene Venske, New York Athletic Club. Time, 3 minutes, 48 and 8-tenths seconds, a new world record.
Losing this 1,500-meter race to Bill Bonthren was a tough defeat for Glenn Cunningham, because even though he missed winning by 1 second, he, too, had run this race in world's record time. Glenn...
This is a Western Agency Company production.
Today's football.